Mr. King spoke last week a little bit about combating fear in the midst of COVID-19. You could almost write over the top of this that this is combating fear in the midst of COVID-19, part two. But really, it's finding comfort and encouragement in the midst of fear and uncertainty. That's what we kind of want to look at today. What's really important to know is that we can find comfort. We can find encouragement. We listen to the media. We understand that there's a lot going on in our world. If we are continually on Facebook and not in God's book, we will be brought to a situation where we're living in constant fear. If our diet is only the nightly news or the morning news or the unstopping news, we're going to fall victim to fear. Our God is still in control. Many years ago, there was a lady called Ruth K. Jones. She was born in 1920. She was a pastor's wife and a mother of five, and she was living in Pennsylvania. She was born in 1920. What I'm going to share occurred around 1943. That's a long time ago, but what she had to say and what she did is very relevant today. Ruth was distressed by the headlines of her Pittsburgh newspaper. She saw the World War II casualty lists, and she knew the Allies were making slow progress in Italy at that time. Supplies were rationed at the homeland, and everyone was living under incredible strain. She opened her Bible to 2 Timothy 3, studied the page, and she pondered the opening words. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And a song began composing itself in her mind. She jotted some lyrics on a small pad in her little apron pocket, and a series of notes played through in her mind. Soon the notes and the music congealed into what has become one of the most beloved gospel songs, a song that George Beverly Shea heard sung from her porch with her husband and children. It's a timely song for any day. In 1943, during the horrors of World War II, or in 2020, where we have a worldwide pandemic called the coronavirus that we're living in, here are those words. In times like these, we need a savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, we need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, God's only son. Be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Ruth died in 1972, but her words do live on and they're very applicable today. Mr. King mentioned last week that he had assigned me the task of speaking on comfort and encouragement. And so, what's a definition for comfort? What is it that we're looking for if we're looking for comfort? Well, comfort in our English language could be a comfortable chair or a sofa. It's not that kind of comfort. Comfort as in a life of ease and comfort. It's not that kind of comfort. When we go to our Bible, we find that this word comfort is translated in various ways. It's also translated sometimes the word consolation. Consolation as in a parent, especially a mother, how they would console their child. Calling to one's side to strengthen by consolation and encouragement. This is very fresh in my mind because late last night we had a particularly large storm that moved through this area. A storm that brought lightning and thunder. And we had a little boy in the house here, Jack, who was very frightened. And when he came to me, it was words of assurance, it's going to be okay. My presence and protection as one that he trusts. And it brought that sense of calm amidst the storm. I think it was a day or two ago, Wendy posted on the Christian Believers of Donaldson private Facebook group a beautiful picture of a bird taken with a very long zoom lens on a branch, and underneath those wings were two of her baby birds, protected, safe under her wings. That's a picture, of course, in the Bible. We need words of reassurance that it's going to be okay. We need to put our confidence in the protection of one that we trust. We know the midst of his presence and assurance. And in Jack's case, just knowing I was there beside him, even to the point of touching me, within a few minutes, he was back over asleep, assured everything is going to be okay. That's what we need in uncertain days when the media is filled with messages of fear. I'm sure some of you are frightened, and that's okay. It's okay to be thinking about my condition. Some of you have been affected by the downturn in the economy and your businesses. Some of you are affected because you fall into a category, like my parents, of those that are termed elderly. It's okay to be afraid. But where do we turn in times when we are afraid? Where can we turn to provide comfort in the midst of this condition and situation that we're all facing as a nation and indeed as a world? What do we as God's people do in a time like this? Do we fall apart? Do we say there's no use, it's going to happen? What will happen? Let's turn to God. Where do you and I find comfort? Well, I find that in the Word of God, and there are many other areas that in the Word of God that we could find more in, but I find comfort in God. I find comfort in God's promises, and I find comfort in God's people. And I think when we look at this together in the Word of God, we're going to find that that is true and it has scriptural precedent. We find comfort in God, so we should pray. We should talk to our Heavenly Father. We should be sharing our burdens with Him, old and young alike. You know, the very first thing about knowing God is getting to know Him as our Lord and Savior. And if you're not saved, that's the very first step in knowing that you're going to be in heaven. That's the step of the first step of knowing God intimately. The Lord Jesus went to the cross. He laid down his life as a sacrifice for sinners. Paul said that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he himself could say, of whom I am chief. That's salvation. That's getting to know Christ as Lord and Savior. When you put your trust in what he did upon the cross and know for sure that you're going to be in heaven. The second step, moving along and thinking about us as believers, comfort comes from God. He's the source of it. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. Let's read that together. 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. Paul is writing his second letter to the church at Corinth, and we find lovely words at the beginning of this chapter. He says in verse number 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, in all our distress, in all our pressure, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Did you notice that? The God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, in our pressure and stress, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Think with me of the person who comforts. He is the God of all comfort. Think of the promise of that comfort. He comforts us in all our tribulation. There's not a pang that rends the heart, but the man of sorrows bears a part. Dear believer, he knows what you're going through. He knows the fears that you're facing. He knows the condition of our world better than we do. He knows your heart. He knows what you need, and he provides promises in his word that bring comfort. Think of the expansiveness of that. He comforts us in all, every situation, even in the midst of a worldwide pandemic. Can God be trusted? Can he be trusted to bring us comfort? Absolutely. But what's the purpose of the comfort? Well, the verse says it, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble. One of the nice things that we see at Christian Believers of Donaldson is people caring for one another, reaching out to one another. Maybe it's sending a little text. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's a little note card. Keep in contact, beloved, especially at these times when we, through no fault of our own or the overseer's own, that we are not able to meet physically together presently. It's vitally important that we will take, even if we get a scripture, something that blessed us, to share with others, able to comfort those who are in trouble. You know, we have our Heavenly Father. We need to call upon him in prayer. Isn't it a great comfort to know that no matter the circumstance, we can cry out, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Help me with the fears that I'm feeling. Every time I turn the news on, there's this fear that wells up within inside. Lord, help me with that. We have a Heavenly Father who loves to hear his children call upon him in prayer, and he loves to still answer prayer, beloved. Don't lose sight of that in the midst of this pandemic. Doesn't it provide us great comfort knowing that we can call upon him in times of national distress? This is the one who sees the end from the beginning, and he always has an open ear. Find comfort in God. Secondly, we find comfort in God's promises. So let's read. Let's read God's word. We need God's promises. We need to lay hold on God's promises in times like this. It ought not to surprise any believer that the scriptures themselves provide comfort. Let's turn, if you will, in Romans chapter 15. Romans and chapter 15. And we're going to read verse number 4. Romans chapter 15, verse number 4. Remember in verse number 3, he said that Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience, and that's the idea of patient endurance, and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God of patience and comfort. The patience and comfort of the scriptures. Those are wonderful promises. And you notice the outcome? That you might be like-minded. Comfort and encouragement amongst us brings and strengthens our unity. Our unity. If you're like me, it's probably in times of distress that we turn to a very special part of the Word of God. You know where I'm going. We turn to the Psalms, don't we, in times of pressure. Perhaps you have some favorite Psalms. There are words that are written there that have brought countless millions of God's people great comfort in times of pressure, distress, uncertainty, and fear. It was C.S. Lewis who said that fear is not a fruit of the Spirit. Psalm 23, for example. What an enormous psalm. What a very practical psalm. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm just going to turn to it so I can read it with you. Psalm 23. If ever there was everything that we need in one portion in a time like this, it is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Thou art with me. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If any of you have any books by Harry Ironside, he has a lovely little part in Psalm 23. I'm just going to read what he shared. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Believer, grab a hold of this truth. You shall not want for rest, because he makes you to lie down. You shall not want for refreshment, because he leads you beside still waters. You shall not want for restoration, for he restores your soul. You shall not want for guidance, for he leads you in paths of righteousness. You shall not want for companionship in the midst of your trial. For though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You shall not want for comfort, because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You shall not want for provision, for you prepare a table before me. You shall not want for anointing, for you anoint my head with oil. You shall not want for satisfaction, for your cup runs over. You shall not want for goodness and mercy, for they will follow you all the days of your life. Finally, you shall not want for a home at last, for he says, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's one little portion that I want to focus on. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod. A shepherd wrote about the making of the rod. They take a young sapling tree. It's dug from the ground with its root. It's carved. It's whittled down with great care and patience. The enlarged base of the sapling tree, where its trunk joins the roots, is shaped into a smooth, rounded head of hardwood. The sapling itself is shaped exactly to fit the owner's hand, the shepherd's hand. A shepherd boy will learn how to throw it with amazing accuracy and speed. The rod becomes his main weapon of defense and deterrent toward predators for both himself and the sheep. The effectiveness of these crude clubs in the hands of a skilled shepherd was always a thrill to watch, the shepherd wrote. The rod is like an extension of the owner's right hand, arm. It stands as a symbol of his strength, his power, and his authority in any serious situation. But the shepherd also uses the rod for discipline. It was the instrument used to correct a wayward sheep. It was always through God or Moses' rod that miracles were made manifest. It wasn't only to convince Pharaoh of Moses' divine commission, but it also provided reassurance to the people of Israel. The rod seems like it manifests itself as a symbol of the word of God for us, something that provides defense, something that provides a deterrent, something that is used to bring discipline and order in our lives. When a sheep gets wayward, the shepherd will throw that rod to the side of a wayward sheep just to direct it back into the fold, to keep it away from poisonous weeds or other dangers that the shepherd can see are close, even if the sheep can't. That's why it's so important to keep ourselves steeped in the Word of God. Remember, thy rod, it comforts me. The rod comforted the sheep, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. The staff. The staff was an instrument that was uniquely used in the management of sheep and only sheep. The wise shepherd man, Philip Keller, said, "It would never do for horses, would never do for cattle, it would never do for pigs. It was designed, it was shaped, it was adapted especially to the needs of sheep, so it was only for their benefit." A staff uniquely identified the profession of the person that carried it. They were a shepherd. Remember, the staff comforts me. What was the staff used for? Well, the staff was used for three things. The staff was used to draw the sheep together in closeness, especially during lambing season. Many shepherds were seen when thousands of sheep were lambing at the same time, and they would watch their sheep. And when they were lambing, they would take the staff and pick up the newborn lamb and bring it over to Mother Ewe so that the ewe would not reject this lamb. If the shepherd had picked the lamb up with his hands, the smell of his hands and the odor of his body would potentially make the ewe reject the lamb. That's why it was so important to use the staff. It brought it, the lamb, close to the mother. But that same staff was used out to reach out and catch an individual sheep to draw it close for intimate examination. That's what God does with you and I, beloved. He does it by his Spirit. I believe that the staff speaks to us of the Spirit of God, the rod, perhaps the Word of God. God's Spirit and his intimate examination of us. It's also used to guide the sheep. It guides the sheep in safety. Remember that the picture is not a shepherd behind the sheep pushing them and driving them, but rather a shepherd leading the sheep, and his staff could be seen. It brought them along in safety, even in paths that were unfamiliar. Are you and I entering an unfamiliar path right now because of this worldwide pandemic? The fear of the unknown. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know what next week brings. We don't know when we'll be permitted to meet together as believers again, or maybe get back to work on premise if that's what we do. But God does. And today is no different in that sense than any other day. We don't know what tomorrow brings, what next week brings, what next month brings, no matter the pandemic aside, but we know who controls the future. We don't know the future, but we know the one that controls it. When the shepherd guides the sheep in safety with the staff, he reaches forth and puts pressure on the sheep, never to beat them, but to guide them and to steer them back on the correct path. Many times the Spirit of God uses the scriptures to bring to our conscience those things that we're doing. And maybe they just need a little bit of correction. It applies a little bit of pressure in our lives to guide us back. It's always for our good. The staff comforts us. If it is indeed a symbol of the Spirit of God, it is to guide us into all truth. John 16 tells us that. Guiding us into all truth. The staff guided the sheep. And then finally, the staff was used in situations of calamity. It was used to free the sheep from entanglement. "I have gone astray as a lost sheep," the psalmist said. It is very obvious that the sheep as a symbol, many times they were wayward. Philip Keller writes about one particular you who constantly found holes in the hedge or in the fence and got out. And many, many times he found that same ewe entangled in barbs, entangled in brambles, and had to use the staff to push back the thorn bushes so that the sheep could free itself. The staff could be used in times of calamity. God cares for us so much, beloved, that he has his rod and his staff. And that brings comfort to us. Comfort in God. Comfort in God's promises in his word. In prayer, so pray. In his word, so read. But then comfort in God's people. Let's keep in touch. it brings great comfort to be together like this. It's not as good as the real thing, that's for sure. We'd love to be together. We'd love to be shaking hands. We'd love to be expressing the proverbial hug and so on. And I think Dan called it the greet each other with a holy kiss. We do need each other in times like these when we're apart. That little hymn, you could add a little verse to it. In times like these, we need each other. In times like these, pray for each other and be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock because it's not moving. Though we're apart in times like these, you probably notice, like I do, we miss each other. We miss the fellowship of God's people. We value time with God's people and we miss it when it's not there, whether it's a Sunday morning for the meetings of the morning, whether it's a Wednesday night, whether it's those special occasions when we meet at different times, whether it's the fellowship lunch. It is so great that we could meet together like this, like that, all those times. But now we're meeting virtually. We're going to try meeting virtually on Wednesday night, but we do miss that in-person fellowship of God's people. I think that we find comfort in one another. Comfort from the interaction and fellowship of God's people. You know, Paul felt the same way. In 2 Corinthians 7 and 6, I'll just read it. It says, "But God who comforts the downcast comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted by you." Paul also writes in Colossians 4, verses 10 and 11, he writes about three different people. He says about Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner. He talks about Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. He talks about Jesus, who is called Justice. And you know what he said about them? He said, "These fellow workers for the kingdom of God, they have proved to be a comfort to me." You know, that word is the only time it's found in the Bible. It is unique to Colossians 4. The word is paragoria. Paragoria, a soothing or a solace. It is taken from a word that means medicines which allay irritation. Isn't it nice when we meet believers whose very presence allays irritation, that brings soothing and solace in the midst of fear and dissension? God's people can be a comfort to one another. We do need one another. That sense of balm, that sense of salve that we can be. Paul valued the believers. He talked about the time when it was nearing the end. And he said about Demas, he forsook him. He said, "Only Luke is with me. And bring Mark, John Mark. He's forgiven. Bring him back. He's useful and helpful. It's going to be winter." And there was Paul and Luke and Mark sitting, talking together, valuing the fellowship of good brethren. And remember that Paul had asked for the parchments to be sent. One preacher put it like this. He asked for the parchments. He enjoyed the food of good books and the fellowship of good brethren. God's people are valuable. You are all valuable to me and to my family. We miss you very much. The overseers, they miss the flock, their presence, but they still care. So we need God. Let's recap. We need God. We need God's promises. And we need God's people. If you're saved, you can lean upon your Heavenly Father in prayer for comfort. There's one last psalm I'm going to read, Psalm 121, and with this we'll conclude. Psalm 121, I'll give you a minute to get there if you want to follow along. A lovely psalm. I think it's a psalm of ascents, it says, and it's also a psalm that makes sense. "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shield at your right hand. The Lord shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going in, your going out, and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Isn't that an awesome promise that we can lay hold on? Let us enjoy the promise of God's word, and let us enjoy presence with one another again when the time comes. But for now, let's enjoy it this way.